What is there? It's never dull. No, he's not oppressor. I was hoping someone would say that. See, this is what I say. Look at his race on November 6th, way down at the bottom of the chart. He was on or around the lead all the way in that race, and in all of the races surrounding that, he was on the lead. On the race on January 19th, he was on the lead. On his race in February 3rd, he tried to press, and that was not a good style for him. And on February 22nd, he tried to press and weakened down the stretch. He is not a presser. The fact that he got pulled along and in a parade maybe in his last race and managed to hold only 3.5 lengths back does not change his running style. He is an early pace horse, and never bet this horse to win unless he's capable of leading. Anybody argue with that? Everybody understand that?
He generally pulls up all the time.
Yeah, he's kind of folds, but I got to tell you, just after this, he won a couple of races in a row. Well, how do you drop him at Hollywood beyond 10? Or, you know, I mean, that wasn't why. He just kind of got sharp, ran a couple of good races, but he ran them on the lead. Now, what about Bortino? What is he? He's an ideal horse. He's a presser, isn't he?
Tom?
Yes.
Getting back to Never Dull, those series of bad races, what is a trouble line so you can excuse him on the third? Is that a symptom of, say, going out of form early on? He's running races way back. He's running real fast. Then he gets to a point there where he's running slow races, then he starts running fast again. Is that a form cycle?
That is a form cycle. And when you say, go way back down now, run up and down his class levels. See, November 27th, we're talking about him getting bad, yes. He's dropping 28 to 20, 22, 5, 16 to 10. And now he's hit bottom. They don't run any less than 10 in Santa Anita, Hollywood.
Well, he must be hurting then.
Oh, sure. You know, he's no kid. He's 9 years old.
9-year-old horse gets claimed 2 times in 3 starts.
Yeah, he can run a little bit, say. And this guy was right because he won a couple of starts with him, at least one. I know he ran up close in another one. So he actually got pretty good. His race on February 3rd is actually pretty good. Because he tried to... Remember when Dick was talking about these... You know, here's a router with a lot of speed, right? Except his speed is a little misleading because of his first half mile calls. And when he did move in with sprinters, he ran okay, but he was never able to get up and challenge for the lead, and that's his best time. And that's what Dick was saying earlier. When you drop them into those sprints, they run pretty quick that first 100 yards or so. All right, he is an early pace horse. He is not a presser. And the minute you call him, see, the danger here is that the minute you call him a presser, when you analyze the race and decide that there are a couple of front-running types in the race, you then put him in a position of inheriting the win if those other two front-running types stop. And that won't be the case, because if he's not the front-running type that is leading all the way around, he won't win. So be careful in these designations. You can get away with a lot of slop in terms of closers. You know, you can mislabel those. The ones you've got to be very careful with are the early pace and presser types. Because if you call it a presser, that means when the pace falls apart, he's a candidate to win, and this one would not be. Now, Bortino is a presser. He's really a useful horse. What is Last Command? Okay, purely he's a presser, but he's an early presser. I mean, he's up close, but he's a presser is his style. Yes.
Why would you close horse an early presser if he's never had the lead at the first call?
No. What's happened is, see, I started with 3 categories. I started with mid-pack, presser, closer, early. And we've begun to designate early pressers. In other words, horses that press but are pressing from an early vantage point as opposed to a sustained vantage point. We're not labeling them, not that I buy into all of this, but we're not labeling the horse as a dual type runner. We're not saying he's early and a presser. We're saying he's a presser that sits early, right up near the leaders. Now, I would label this horse clearly as a presser, and I would suggest you do the same thing.
Okay. That's what I was getting.
Yeah.
You agreed with the early presser.
I did, but I also know the context from to where this is developed. Okay, he is a presser that presses from an early vantage point. In other words, he's up toward the leaders as opposed to being just a little further behind them.
And this horse really is not an early pace presser. I would disagree with that. EP on there, he has his last line, he was an early presser. No,
okay, folks.
That's where I was coming from.
Yeah, folks, This is the point I was making about these things lying to you, because if you turn to page 40, see, it shows him as the number two early pace horse. That would make him an early presser, wouldn't it? He is not. He's a presser. Okay. We're going to go to that in a moment, so you can go back to the pages now. Last command, we will call a presser. What would we call hovering presence? This is slug number two, isn't it? Okay. This is no runner. This is no form. If he would ever win, it would only be because all of the early pace horses exhausted one another, and the presser types all fell down or something. I mean, this is a horrible horse.
But
he won this. And he's going up in class, which means that, he did not win this. I mean, he's a horrible thing. Kennedy Exchange. Now, what is this guy?
He doesn't know.
You're right. There's a little bit of cloud here as to what he is. What is he, though? I mean, if you were to say, now, here's where this is so critical. If you were to say Kennedy Exchange is going to win this race, how would he have to win the race? Well, he's trying to press, right? Okay. I'd say he has to win it on the front. Okay. And the reason I say that is if you look at his last race, he lost ground against a 28 final fraction at a mile. Folks, I can run 28. That is not a presser.
That's a cheap class, too. It's a state race, right?
Well, not in California. The California breeding program is such that it's like Florida in as much as it's as good as the open. The part times are no different. Some of the very best horses in California come out of these state breeds. So it's a little misleading.
The purses are not inflated. They fly the money to them at the end of the year under the table.
Okay. Now, Kennedy Exchange, it would have to be early. But, except for a race at Caliani, he's not capable of being early. He's a non-contender for us. But he's an early pace horse with no capability here at all of being early.
Early Dyer.
Early Dyer. An early slug. An early turtle. Bueno Amnistia. You ever notice how these horses that are always 10th of 10, 10th of 11, 8th of 9 at the first fraction always have winning percentages like 1 for 13 with no seconds, 6 for 68 in the case of hovering presence and things like that. Those horses just don't win. Bueno Amnistia is a sustained horse with no quality at all. And if you throw out his last line, which was on a sloppy racetrack at 30 to 1, I defy you to make him even your place horse. And in fact, I was going to say, I bet he doesn't hit the board. He doesn't, but he doesn't. He at least splits the field. What about Buckethead? Okay, I would vote for Presser on this guy. His last time, he fell way back at 79 to 1. His best race at Caliani. He pressed on the 17th of February. I wouldn't do much with this horse, period. But if you were to designate him, you could not make him early. Either sustained or presser would be just fine. Based on his last race, I might call him sustained now. He's not going to muddle your picture at all. But nevertheless, you want to make as accurate a call as you can possibly make. And the reason I might call him a sustained is because of the pace of that race, 47-1, 111 and 3 on a track variant of 19, so the good track wasn't all that slow. And he was well out of it. So, what about precedence? He's another slug, but he's sustained, isn't he? Okay. Now, here's where it's critical. How many early pace horses have we designated in this field?
Three.
Who were they?
Jazz Island, Never Dull, Kennedy Exchange.
Okay. Who gets the lead in this field? Forget the results chart. Who gets the lead based on dedication to the lead and velocity?
Jazz Island.
Jazz Island, without question. True? Okay, now what does that do to Kennedy Exchange and the other early horse who was what? It's never dull. What does that do to them? They're out. And that should never be one of your two horses that you're betting, ever. Because once you've established that you have three early pace horses, and by calling them that, you're saying that they can't press. You have three early pace horses. One is superior to the other two. The other two are non-contenders for purposes of your bet. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Tom, can we respond a little by saying not win contenders?
Well, that's what we're talking about, winning this race.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you say they're out, I mean, out means out, and, you know, there might be Exactas or Quinellas.
Okay. I think I mentioned one of the two horses you're betting, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They're not one of the two horses you're betting because you're giving away a bet. Okay, granted, one of them could finish second because It's Never Dull has finished close several times without having a lead, right? Okay, so I'm not saying don't use them in a second hole. We're talking about win betting here, getting the winner of the race. The winner of the race based of those three early pace horses is, let me hear it. Okay, now what happens if they press Jazz Island? We're looking at a second horse now. What happens if Jazz Island gets pressed a little bit too hard for the early lead? Should not be based on these velocity numbers, but what if he is? Where do you look first in these races? You look for pressers, don't you? Because there is not going to be such a speed jam that would set it up for some deep closer here, because Jazz Island can outrun the other two horses. We've just said that. So now you look at pressers. Where are the pressers in this race? Bortino and Last Command, all right? Doesn't make any difference which one of them you use. But one of those two horses, if you're betting two horses, should be your second play in this race. It's up to you which one you want to use. So I happen to know a little bit about Last Command, so I didn't bet him at all through a series of races in here. But it can be either one of those. You're looking for somebody now that can pick up the pieces in here. You don't want to be betting two early pace horses if one dominates the other two. I mean, that's folly. You don't want to do that. Bortino or Last Command. Now let me show you something. When I told you not to get too excited about your computer programs, as good as they are, they'll give you good data, they will give you good fractions, they'll do all kinds of great things for you. But if you believe them with a religious fervor, you're going to get in trouble. Who is the best early pace horse in this race according to the Synergism 2 program on page 40? Who?
Kennedy
Exchange. Who's the second best? Bullshit. Didn't we just say a few moments ago, as a single voice, who was going to lead this field? Okay, now who's right? You and your judgments about racing in the first place, or the computer, which is just trying to help you? You're right. Jazz Command is the early pace horse, so don't fall in love with these ratings. Overall, they're good, they'll serve you well. But do not let them become gospel for you, because it contradicts what you're looking at. Jazz Island is the early pace horse in the race. Anybody have any problem with that? Pardon?
How do you like that?
How do you like that? Yeah. How do you like me so far, gang? All right. Anyway, these races are not that difficult. They're not easy, but they're not as difficult as we make them, because generally our judgments from here are accurate. The ratings will support that. The ratings do support that as far as Jazz Island is concerned. He's got a lot of good ratings across the way here. Now, I've got to tell you one thing about this program that drives me crazy is the fact that you have a 1-2-2 on Factor W and the next one's a 3 instead of a 4.
Well, bookkeeping mentality.
I know. That's what it was. But anyway, this race is between Bortino, Last Command, and Jazz Island, according to the computer, and the computer's absolutely right. Because didn't we as a group say that Jazz Island is our early pace horse, and if we look for a second play, it would be either Bortino or Last Command? Now, the computer just supported that for you. But you can come to that conclusion yourself, and then let the computer help you out with it, because you want to project your pace, and you've got to project your early pace types. And that eliminated, no matter how you look at him, Kennedy Road's got a couple of decent numbers in here, but you threw it, Kennedy Road, that's the wrong horse, Kennedy Exchange. But you threw that horse based on his inability to compete on the early pace of the race. So the computer says that he's not all that bad, but you've already said he has no chance, and you're right. That's where the value of identifying these horses correctly in terms of style and then analyzing the pace of the race. Then a computer will just bring it up and say, bet Last Command, Bortino, or Jazz Island. And we already want Jazz Island for one. And the other two is just a coin flip, probably.
How did you interpret those readouts to make that choice?
I wouldn't run it through the computer.
I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, I hadn't intended Tom to use this race at all.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't know he was going to use it.
We're going to interpret those readouts quite a bit at lunch.
Okay.
We're going to break in 10 minutes for lunch, and I need to talk.
Okay. I don't know how you would have done that. Since I have track variance, I also happen to know that Jazz Island and Bortino were running really strong races for the level about the time they hit this race. Yes?
That brings up a point. Doing your variance and going to horses like that, do you watch the key races?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I watch key races not only... the nice thing about doing it from a pace analyst standpoint is that we're able to identify key races before they become classic key races, before they start to produce winners. Because, and one of the examples that I used in a seminar that I also have used in the book is the last year's Malibu Stakes run in January, or end of December at Santa Anita, right at the beginning of the meeting. It was an incredible race. And a horse called Aravi came back here and got beat on nose by Little Bull John, I guess it was. But that produced about six winners. And the turn time of that race at seven furlongs was 22 flat. And there were about six of them. There were about six horses competing for that lead, and no one gave an inch around the turn. Nobody. And that race just proved to be one of the most productive races you're ever going to see. But that was based on understanding pars, how fast they run, and how fast races are run. And key races are very important to play. Now, as far as this readout is concerned, like I said, you've already analyzed this race. So now interpreting the readout, all you have to do is know that the three horses you were looking at are the best three. And I disagree a little bit with Last Command in here, but again, you know, if he were one of your two bets, it wouldn't be a problem. You've already said that Jazz Island has to be one based on dominating the early. Any other questions? Yes?
You talked about the Kennedy Exchange a little bit. In this last race you ran, 5-6-1-1-1. Why are you so sure that Jazz Island is beaten?
Okay. The basic running style of this horse, except for a mile and 3/8 at Fairplex, which was 49-1 for the first fraction, the basic running style for this horse, with the Agua Caliente as being an exception, is a little bit off that first half. And his last race, even though it was running 45-3 before they absolutely collapsed, he was off that first pace. Jazz Island, on the other hand, is frequently able to get the lead in sprints. And for me, it's no contest picking the early pace horse on those two. But those are some of the things you have to look at. Because remember earlier on in this session, I mentioned that sometimes the velocity numbers are going to lie to you. Because if the horse's basic running style doesn't quite fit the velocity number, then you kind of have to analyze it a little differently. And chances are that 45-3 that they ran to the half last time was an aberrant race. It could have easily been a concrete highway around the first turn. Yes?
Isn't it true that some horses...
See, that's a great horse to have in the race, both from a positive and a negative standpoint. Because as you analyze the race, if he's the one that can dominate the race, you bet him. On the other hand, if you have other need-to-lead types also in there, he becomes a negative influence around the race. And you get rid of him and all of those other horses. So either way, you're in the garden spot here. He becomes the key to the entire race. Either he's going to get the lead, or he's going to be pressed so hard, he's going to lose it, and so are the ones that pressed him. So you want that kind of a horse in a lot of these races, because that's when you get away. One of the reasons for this Beyer article is that he asked me one day, we were talking about this whole thing, and he says, well, it seems to me that this is kind of a glorified approach to picking a front runner. And I had a real problem with that. And that's the reason we went to the turn time thing, based on those two horses locking up and the other horse gaining the momentum. And for us, it's great when you have these horses in these races, both from a positive and a negative standpoint. Are there any other questions before we break for lunch? Yes?
How much of the chart methodology will be in the book?
Well, one of the things that we've had the SART methodology, some of the early stuff, published a number of times already, including by Racing Action. Every time it's been published, it's been it's been misstated in a lot of instances. And I'm presenting two approaches to pace handicapping in my book, one superior to the other. Now, one is the Quirin pace and speed numbers, which are easier to make than our stuff. They're also not as usable. And the other approach will be the initial feet per second and compounding that SART methodology had. And Howard's going to write part of the foreword, so it's not a matter of pirating something. I would not have done that without his blessing. And it will not be any of the more elaborate ratings that we use, because that's us, that's proprietary, and we're moving on. But it will be early, sustained, and average pace. And it will not be turn time, it will not be doctor, it will be none of those things. And then, nobody's going to use it accurately anyway without the follow-up. So, I mean, but I'm going to present it, and that was one of the things. And it started with, I think, Quinn coming to Howard and saying, you know, you ought to write that, you know, because it's going to be written around you anyway, and it has been several times. So we're going to write it with some accuracy. And hopefully some people will adapt to it, because there's a lot to be gained from this, even without all of the insights that we have developed as a group over the years. You know, just all by itself, it's very strong stuff. And in truth, I still use basically what we were using in 82 in my own play. I'm just kind of producing the numbers without a sort, and I just analyze the race and then hope that the computer will, if I run it through the computer, that will support it for me. Now, like this race that we just looked at, I would not have run through the computer, because I would have stopped right with the answers that you gave me. So you analyzed the race perfectly. Jazz Island, of the three horses, Jazz Island was the early pace horse. And who would, if he doesn't get all the way, who's going to inherit the race? One of the pressers. Which of the two pressers do you want? Well, that's your choice. But the point is, you did it all. And you did it all accurately without going to the rest of it, sitting down in front of a keyboard and doing all the rest of that. I'm not telling you not to do that. But the point is that your instinctive reaction and your analysis of the race and your understanding of the race were already sufficient enough for you to win. Any other questions? Yes?